Good morning and welcome to the first Communion Sunday of November 2022. I should say the first, it's the only Communion Sunday of November 2022. Today we will participate in communion together, so please avail yourself to press the pause button and go get whatever elements you use for communion. Ultimately, communion is the calling together of all of the people of God in the body of Christ, because communion is the common confession of all of the people of God from all time to the sacrifice that God provided for us in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So let's come into this and let's ask the Lord to help us as we enter. By the way, it's not an entering that happens only on Sunday. We're in the communion of God right now. This is simply a formalized way of expressing that. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. The world may not acknowledge what you did on the cross, but we, the body of Christ, we do. You are our Lamb of God, who has taken away our sins. And by that sacrifice, we have been made righteous. We have been made a kingdom of priests to serve you forever. This we have not totally experienced yet. We're getting little tastes of it here and there as we share with people, as we pray with people, and as we walk with you here in this world. Help us, Lord, to continue in the communion that you have called us to continue in a way that it attracts others who do not know you into this wonderful communion of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, said John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming to the great revival of the Jewish people, when he showed up in the desert as one of the prophets that they hadn't seen for 400 years. Suddenly appears a prophet out in the desert proclaiming repentance, getting ready for the coming of the Lord. John the Apostle said this in retrospect after he thought about what God had done through the arrival of Christ. He wrote this in 1 John 3, "You know that he, the Messiah, appeared so that he might take away our sins. In him is no sin." This is a cool thing. So God himself will provide the offering. I took this point out of a statement by none other than Abraham. And I put a little graphic on here for you to look at. If you see, it's a mosaic. It's a tile mosaic of a ram caught in the branch of a tree. And this is God's solution to Abraham when he gets asked a question by his son Isaac. In the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, Abraham, before there's any Israel, before there's any 12 tribes, before there's King David or King Solomon or a temple or anything like that, before the Ten Commandments, Abraham and his son, the miracle baby, who should have never been born, who is kind of like a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Abraham's a type of God in the Old Testament, if you will. Type meaning he's kind of like a picture, a metaphor. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Now, this is an interesting, we're dropping in on a story, because in the beginning of this chapter, God tells Abraham to take this miracle baby, Isaac, take him and sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering. Abraham decides to do this. Now, Hebrews later on goes and says that Abraham reasoned. He agreed to this, and he reasoned in his heart, "Well, God gave to me this miracle baby. God can give him back to me from the dead if need be." So he was going to go ahead and follow through with it. Now, his son asks about the lamb for the burnt offering, and he's carrying the knife, which is for the purpose of putting to death the sacrifice, and the fire. It's the purpose of burning up the whole burnt offering. A burnt offering was the whole sacrifice was offered to God. You didn't eat any of it. It all went to God. It was, in essence, it was cremated to God. So Isaac asks the question, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? The fire and the wood are here. Where's the lamb? Now, there's something else if you read between the lines here. God says about Abraham when he's contemplating the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, shall I reveal to Abraham what I'm about to do in destroying Sodom and Gomorrah for all of their sin? He goes, for he certainly will teach his family about me. He will instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Abraham took seriously the issue of being an example in worship and in serving God to his family. That's what all of us are called to. You're called to be the primary witness in your family. Whether it's you have kids or not, you are the primary witness for your family. Your job is to instruct people about the true worship and the true service to God the King. And Abraham was faithful in this. We see it in Isaac's question, because Isaac understands what this is what's going on here. There's wood, there's fire, there's a knife. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? We've always had a lamb before. Of course, at this point, he doesn't yet realize that the lamb is he himself. So he goes up to the place of sacrifice. Most theologians will tell you that this is probably Mount Moriah, where Jesus Christ himself dies on the cross, eventually, thousands of years into the future. The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven because he has the knife raised up, it says, if you read the rest of the story. He's about to plunge the knife into his son. And by the way, his son is not struggling or protesting against this. He trusts his father implicitly. Abraham, Abraham, the angel of the Lord. It's another way of saying the Lord himself. The angel meaning God expressing himself to human beings in a physical way through the apparition of the angel of the Lord. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. See, Abraham was going to do it. His hand was already up in the air. He was going to do it. And it wasn't because God relishes human sacrifice. He does not. God isn't a God that requires human sacrifice like some of the old pagan religions do. God was simply testing Abraham to see if Abraham truly was trusting in God and God's command without question, and he is. I know that you fear God because you've not withheld even your son. So Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. To this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Well, what will be provided? The offering. The offering. The offering for the sin of the world. The offering, Jesus Christ. On the mountain of the Lord, God will offer Jesus Christ. He did this, and he pictured it with Abraham. God has provided the sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ himself. He has provided this sacrifice. That's what Christianity is all about. What do? When we gather? We have communion. We remember him dying on the cross because Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that God provided for the sins of the whole world. He is the provisional sacrifice for you. If you accept this sacrifice, you will be redeemed. If you reject this sacrifice, God can't do anything with you. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. So Jesus Christ reveals the attitude of the sacrifice. It's very much like Isaac. Okay, you want to tie me to the altar and sacrifice me? because that's what you need to do, I'll do it. Jesus Christ submitted himself to this need. He is the sacrifice that God provided for the sins of the world. In John 1:29, just to reiterate this even further, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, this is John the Baptist, "Look, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The true ministry of any proclaimer, any teacher, any evangelist of the Word of God, any so-called prophet or prophetess, if you so prefer, is this: you better point to the Lamb of God. If you point to yourself, you're going to fail the people. If you point to a church, you're going to fail the people. If you point to some human organization, you fail the people. You must point to the Lamb of God. That is your calling. You always point to Jesus Christ. He's who we have to offer. He is the one that God provided as a sin offering for anyone, man, woman, or child, whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever sin they have been involved in. Jesus Christ is the answer and the solution to that. And the people of God better point to that, because if we lose sight of that, we are no longer the church. "Get rid of the old yeast," said Paul to the Corinthian church, a Greek church, "so that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." So Jesus Christ is God's provision. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Unbelief concerning who Jesus is has eternal consequence. Unbelief, disbelief, agnosticism, I don't know, I'm not certain, all of that, it has an eternal consequence. If you say you don't know, and if you go into eternity pretending like you don't know, then you are making a statement for eternal consequence. You need to make a decision about what Jesus did on the cross. Either what he did there on the cross is the forgiveness of your sin, or it isn't. You must make a decision about this. In the book of Revelation, it says, "I opened the books were opened, and there the people whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they were cast away." Say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Sure, it's fair. You've had a whole lifetime to decide whether Jesus died for you or not. If you haven't decided for this yet, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for the last minute, the last breath. You don't know when that's going to come. It might be when you're asleep. You better decide now. If you're going to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life, and if you're gambling with your soul and taking a chance on, "I'll wait till tomorrow," tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation, says the Scriptures. If God is speaking to you and wooing you and moving you towards a Bible church that preaches the Word of God, and you need to hear what is being said through the preacher, then you need to listen. You better open your life to the Lamb of God who took away your sin. Because if you don't, there's eternal consequence, positively and negatively. Jesus speaking here in John 8:24. By the way, this is the verse that set me off on this particular communion devotional. When I read this, I thought, what's Jesus saying here? I told you, he's speaking to some of his Jewish contemporaries. Remember, he's Jewish. He's speaking to fellow Jewish people who happened to be leaders at that time in the religious system. "If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins." That statement to me was like, wow, what does it mean then to die in one's sins? What does that mean? That's almost like a scary statement, to die in my sin. Die in the sin that I live in? Die in all of the consequence of all of my failures and all of my misbehaviors in front of God? I would die in it and stay in it and not get out of it? Is that what this means? Die in my sins? I need to believe in what he did? It has an eternal consequence. Watch what he says here in Ezekiel 3:20. "When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity," that's another fancy word for sin, "and I place an obstacle before him so that he dies, since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin." So there's only a few places where this statement is made, to die in your sin. Jesus and here in Ezekiel. So what does it mean to die in your sin? It means to die in a way, according to John MacArthur, Who's one of my favorite Bible teachers, by the way. I don't agree with everything that he teaches, and nobody agrees with everything I teach, okay? If you asked John MacArthur and he listened to some of my sermons, he'd probably say, this guy's a heretic. I don't know. Anyway, John MacArthur is a well-known Bible teacher, and I went to his Bible college and Bible school because I was impressed by his commitment to the Word of God. So his commentary on this is here. To die in your sins is to disbelieve the gospel. You don't have to go out and kill someone or be bad to go to hell. Because hell isn't just for bad people, quote unquote. It's for everyone and anyone who refuses Christ. It isn't enough to believe that Jesus is the one you think he is. You must believe he is the one he claims to be. Remember what he said? Jesus said, if you don't believe I am the one I claim to be. So, who does Jesus claim to be? Who is he and what is he? I am the bread of life, John 6:35. He who believes in me will never thirst. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Saving faith is not just a question of turning from sin, but of trusting in the Son of God. It's a question of believing Jesus and who he claimed to be. You and I are not given the option of deciding what we think or who we think Jesus is. We are to accept who Jesus is as revealed in Scripture. It's really, really important, more than you know. Jesus, lifted up on the cross, is the very emblem of God's love. Somebody wrote a song, Jesus, the expression of God's love. Jesus on the cross is the emblem. It is the symbol of the love of God expressed to a sinful humanity. He says, okay, you want to blame God? Blame me. Here I am dying for you. I'll even die for you criticizing me. I'll die for you saying you don't believe in me. Here I am taking it all of the vitriol, all of the hate, all of the spit, all of the agnostic, atheistic disbelief. Here it is. I give myself for it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that by rejecting you, they're rejecting life, they're rejecting blessing, they're rejecting eternal existence. So God takes all of the sins of the world and he hangs it up on the cross. Jesus, that's what we must point to. That's what we point to at Grace Church. We'll never point to anything else. The Bible isn't a self-help book, help book. The Bible is a book about how to get right with God. And what the Bible says is Jesus is the sacrifice. Will you accept it? Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am. In the Bible, in the Gospel of John especially, John, a Jewish disciple, said this about Jesus. He reveals Jesus in a whole bunch of different ways, seven different miracles and statements that all contain the statement, I am. I am the door. I am the life. I am the light. I am. So when Jesus says here, if you don't believe that I am, you won't understand who I am. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. You know, I've often wondered, God, why haven't you made the Trinity totally transparent to people that they could understand and grasp this? Why is it that people really fight and struggle against this whole idea that God became flesh in the person of Jesus, but he isn't God the Father, he is God the Son, and that his death on the cross secures their eternal forgiveness, and that the Father and the Son worked this out together in eternity past. And it's not two gods, but one God in three persons. And the second person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he's the one that became human. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. So all we're telling you is this, Look at Jesus on the cross. Look at him there. Look at him with eyes of faith. Approach him. Beg him to forgive you of your sins, like the other thief on the cross, saying, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Ask him. Then you'll know who he is. Come to him, and you'll receive the forgiveness of sins. When I am lifted up from the earth, John 12:32, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus, when Philip was one of the disciples, Greek people came, sought out Philip because he had a Greek name, and said, we're here to see Jesus. Can you please introduce us to him? And so Philip brings them, and Jesus says this, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. The solution to the problems in the world, whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever language, whatever family group, is Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. I will draw all men to myself. And since he said that, how many people from all cultures have turned their hearts to belief in the one true God of the Bible? It has always happened and only happened through Jesus Christ on the cross. It didn't happen through Moses. It didn't happen through King David or Solomon. It didn't happen through Isaiah or Daniel or any of the other prophets. But it did happen through Jesus Christ on the cross. He is the symbol of God's love. He is the symbol of the true messianic promise given to us way back in the book of Genesis. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw my day and he was glad. When did he see Abraham? They said unto him, you're not even 50, and you say you've seen Abraham? When did Jesus and Abraham interact? At the mountain where Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son, where the angel of the Lord, Jesus, before he became human, Jesus and Abraham, he says, don't put him to death. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put myself to death on this very cross, on this very place where you do this sacrifice. Here's where I am going to sacrifice my own life for the salvation of the whole world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This statement, by the way, is one of the statements that you look at in the Gospel of John that definitively puts out in black and white, that Jesus was claiming something more than just being a prophet. I am is the very name that God gave to Moses when Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the commandments. What's your name? When he was in the burning bush, I am that I am. So who is the God of the Old Testament and who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He is God who became flesh. So they took up stones to cast at him. Why? They knew what he was saying. They knew what he was claiming. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and he so passed by. Jesus is the sacrifice for the sins of the world. As I said at the beginning of this, it is said that on this mountain, God will provide. God will provide on this mountain. What did he provide? He provided the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us the sacrifice. Thank you for being the one that God the Father provided for our failures, our sins, our iniquities. Thank you. Help us, Lord, now as we take communion together to remember this is what it's all about. Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. So please join with me as we take our elements together. Take your bread and take your cup and let's eat and let's drink together. Remember when he was at the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, an annual Jewish religious observance where they remembered their deliverance from slavery, which was metaphorical for a sinner being delivered out of slavery and sin into the promised land of the blessing of God. So as we eat and as we drink together, take the bread, drink the cup, and let's remember that he is the very purpose, if you will, of our existence. He's the one that brought us into eternal existence with God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. We remember you now as we eat and as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread. Amen. So long ago, you gave your life on the cross. Thousands of years ago now. Now people are saying it doesn't matter anymore. It's old fashioned. It's old hat. We don't need that anymore. We need science. We need technology. We need solutions that are modern and technological. But the solution that you have given is a man dead on the cross. A man who gave of himself freely for our sins. And that is the sacrifice that you accept even now in our highly technological and advanced world. Even now, it's still the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, of him dying on the cross. For it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew and for the Gentile. So here's our message. Jesus is your Lamb of God. If you accept him, he'll forgive you. If you reject him, you reject your own life. Amen.